Are you doing amendments here?
Yeah.
You're getting the forms filled out.
No, I mean, I had a conversation with Tom earlier. That I didn't have to write them out because they have received them
Maybe what you could just do is start with at least the name, and then once he gets on, whether or not we can just attach.
Okay.
Yeah. Where's the other person? Are you our first speaker? Good afternoon, everyone. You're at the Regions in the Bylaws mini-assembly. These, as you know, are very important because any amendments to what's been proposed need to come through this body of people, so we'll be working it. My name is Linda Laskowski, and I would like to, my home congregation is the UU Church of Berkeley, and we have here Trustee Chris Rivera, who will be giving the board position. We have our vice moderator, Donna Harrison. I think I saw Jim Key, our moderator. And the most important person in the world is the man up here, at least in the room at this moment, which is our attorney, Tom Bean. If you have an amendment that you want to be submitted, it has to go through this body and it has to go with Tom. So please come up and see him as we go through the next few minutes. And I'll talk a little bit about the process in just a minute. What I'd like to do, though, is start with a very short reading. And I think this is apropos to what we're doing today. The reading is by a poet from my congregation. And her name is Claire Baker, and she's 87. And it's entitled, Let It Be. In the changing skies of circumstance, let us be like flocks of birds guiding each other by touching wings. And so one of the things we do in these mini assemblies is touch wings and collaborate on amendments to come up with a stronger project. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward. A few housekeeping things. This session is being recorded. And we do have off-site delegates who have joined us. And so there will be various times throughout the session that we may have, looks like we won't be patching them in, but we have our person here will be representing them at the microphone. So we will be having some off-site, or the potential for off-site delegates to participate as well. How many of you are really familiar with this process? How many are newbies? Okay. As I mentioned, it's important that you go through the process here to get any, and the idea is that we will take straw votes on various amendments and changes, and that will be provided to the board, who will decide how many to incorporate in the final project that will be submitted to the floor. Not all of them will be incorporated, most likely, and so there will be the opportunity then, if you have submitted it to Tom through here for this body, if it's been submitted, it can be provided from the floor, but those of you who have seen how short that time goes knows that a lot of them cannot be considered. So this becomes an important time, and we want to move through things as much as we can so that the body has a chance to reflect on what's important to them. I'm going to, can we, oh dear, can we put the process back up, Stephanie? Okay, yeah, that's all we need is real quickly. Okay, so we're right with the introduction. We're going to spend about, Chris Rivera is going to be giving the trustee position on the bylaw. We'll spend about 5 minutes just taking clarification questions. So not pros and cons or amendments, but just making sure that we all understand what this is about. And then you notice I've got ranges on pros and cons and amendments. That's because I'm going to take a straw poll for the energy in the room, because we're going to have about an hour altogether, which is not much time. So I'm going to take a straw poll to say, how many of you just want to talk for or against the amendment as proposed, versus how many of you really want to get to the amendments? And depending on how your hands are up and where the energy is, that's where we'll spend the bulk of our time, so we can do as much as possible. And then, of course, then after this, the board incorporates the ones, the unincorporated ones have the opportunity of being presented to the body. Let's see. So with that, let's go to the clarification, and you can go ahead and do your the editing, Stephanie. And we'll start with Chris Rivera, our trustee, talking a little bit about the amendment itself.
Buenas tardes.
Qué bueno.
Love it when you speak Spanish back to me. It's wonderful. All right. In 2010, the UUA board initiated a conversation with district presidents and district boards regarding the role of districts in our associational governance. With the move to policy governance, it was clear that having district boards involved in overseeing the UUA staff was not ideal. The various districts and regions have taken a wide variety of approaches of answering the call from the UUA board to reimagine and to clarify oversight of our UUA field staff. The Southern region in particular has answered that call in a very complete way. And this spring, the four districts in the Southern region each voted to eliminate their district governance structures and move to an advisory and collaborative process with the regional staff. They will not have district or region boards or governance structures. The proposed amendments put the bylaws in a position of neutrality regardless of the decisions that individual districts or regions make regarding their path towards regionalization. In particular, there will be no significant penalty for moving forward to completely eliminating governance structures that overlap with the UUA board. The proposed amendments push the accountability for identifying items that are important and should be on the General Assembly agenda towards the member congregations and their elected or called leaders. This is very much in keeping with our polity and our sources of authority and accountability for the UUA. The UUA Board of Trustees asks for your support and approval of this bylaw revision.
Great, thanks, Chris. So this is a simple concept, and yet it ends up being fairly complicated in terms of the number of changes in words. If you do a little count, I counted about 30 different changes over a number of pages, and they tend to fall into a couple of categories. In one category, you've got where it says district, and the board has added or regions. And that's about 12 instances. The other category is where you've got where it says districts, and instead of adding or regions, the districts are taken out entirely, and that middle layer is gone, and it goes directly to a decision making by the congregations. So those are interspersed, and there's about 14 instances of that. So it's either adding region, or it's basically taking that middle layer out with the decision making going directly to the districts, or excuse me, to the congregations. And then there's a few minor changes besides that. So what I'd like to do now is spend, and by the way, I want to introduce one more person. This is Logan Stump Vernon, who is also from my congregation, who is going to be the timekeeper. The rules aren't quite as stern here, but we still want to move it along to provide as much opportunity as possible. So if there are clarification questions, you can line up here. If there aren't, we'll keep on going.
Teresa Wilmot from the UU Church of Rockford, Illinois. I'm part of the Mid-America region, which proposed changes to the bylaws, which would have given all of the new regions the same authority and the same privileges as the districts. And instead of honoring that request, the privileges that the districts have were taken away. I do not understand the reason for this. You are not giving congregations power because they already had that power. You're taking power away from a group, which makes making decisions easier.
Okay. And I just want to be clear, we're looking for clarification, not pros and cons at this point. And so is there a particular clarification that you're looking for from a board member? Why did you do that?
Why did you do that?
No, it's a good question. It's an absolute good question. So moving forward, not all regions will have districts. So in order to look at equity in governance across all of our congregations, districts, and regions, we're looking at if a districts come together and they want to form a region without any governance oversight, we want it to be them to still have an equitable way to bring items to the General Assembly and to the Board of Trustees. So it's not that we're taking, my opinion, that we're taking that ability away from districts. What we're doing is we're saying if districts want to get together and make a region that doesn't have any governance, then we want that to be equitable across the board. So our congregations, which is what our districts are comprised of, still, and you're absolutely right, they still absolutely have that power and authority to bring items. It's just in a different way.
This is for you, too. You mentioned the word overlap when you spoke 5 minutes ago, but I didn't understand what you meant. Could you say it again?
Sure. So in the past, there has been overlap in the oversight of our regional staff with district boards and some regional boards, both supervising those regional staffs, God bless them. They were being basically had bosses in Boston and bosses in their districts. And so there was some real significant overlap of the oversight of the regional staff.
And then just one other thing. When you spoke, you added the word before position. A position of neutrality. That makes sense, but that's not in this.
I probably wasn't reading it word for word.
Right, but you were correct.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Steve Burns. I'm representing the PCD district.
Can you spell that out for people who don't know what
Pacific Central District.
Thank
I'm the district
you.
President. I'd like some explanation of this clarifying the lines of accountability within the bylaws and governance structure, because you described it as moving the decisions down to the congregation. And the current structure has congregations able to bring up items in a district assembly, and then that can be brought to the GA. But that's being removed. And as far as I can tell, the UUA board doesn't have any direct contact or system or structure to directly get feedback from congregations.
Um, So let me parse that, because I think there's two different things that you might be talking about, and I just want to clarify. So are you talking about the ability of congregations to bring things to General Assembly, or are you talking about linkage work that the board does with congregations?
Well, I think it's both, because the rationale for this is clarifying the lines of accountability within the bylaws and governance structure. But from what I can see, the UUA board doesn't presently have a mechanism to directly communicate to congregations. So in terms of reaching down lower and not having a middle, you know, layer of the district or region, there's nothing really established yet at the UUA level to communicate to congregations. So the rationale to me doesn't really seem consistent with what exists.
So in terms of the Board of Trustees, we do have a linkage group that is actually tasked with linking to our sources of authority within our congregations. I know, because next year I'm chairing it.
And that's just starting, right?
No, we've had the linkage working group. It's been working. I don't know how long we've had that, but at least years.
Okay.
About another minute and a half for clarification?
And as Donna pointed out, we also have direct linkage with our congregations through our regional staff.
Hi, I'm Cindy Landrum. I'm a member of the Mid-America Board. And I have a clarification question. You said that we had a choice here to spend our time more on amendments or more on pros and cons. And I know that many assemblies are the way we get to amend something. I don't know what the advantage of spending time on pro and con here is, because it doesn't allow us to remove everything entirely.
Advice at council, we're not going to do that. We're going to spend the time on amendments.
Thank you.
Good point.
Ginny Corder represented the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Grand Traverse in Traverse City, Michigan. This is the first time I've spoken at a microphone when I was not elected to do so by someone other than one congregation. It's interesting.
And I get to be on the other end of that, Ginny. What are you
rocks.
Doing to me, man?
Gracias. So I'd like the board's thinking on something that Linda Laskowski did not mention in the opening, which is on lines 311 and 312, there's a time shift that has resolutions needing to be submitted 6.5 months before the General Assembly in November rather than in February. And so my question, but not all resolutions placed by the board could still be placed, I'm guessing, as late as April as they have been able to in the past. So my question is, why the need to push that timeline so far in advance to be able to affect the agenda?
I'm going to let council take that one.
Oh, darn. I was looking forward to talking with you. I know him.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Ginny, if memory serves me, it's Rule G4.18. And I'm trying to remember. There was a deadline. Basically, business resolutions had to be submitted, and then maybe I'm wrong on the number, but then congregations had to comment on them. And the congregations didn't have to submit their response. Maybe it's a congregational poll. Congregations didn't have to submit their response until, I think, February or March.
Correct.
And there wasn't, and this was at the request of a particular congregant who said, wait a minute, if I submit this in February, as late as February, we're not going to have time to have the congregation evaluate it and give feedback to the board. And so we moved this back to provide for that process of giving congregations the opportunity to provide feedback.
So we moved it forward in advance of the parish poll, whereas in the past, congregations could put items on the GA agenda as late as the January board meeting, basically.
Right.
So to allow greater comment, we're moving it
back
2 months into the church year. So kind of do your water ceremony and then start signing petitions.
Well, I don't
know.
Okay,
all right. No, I got it.
We had an internal, arguably an internal inconsistency,
and this was one way of resolving it.
You got it.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. So now let's move into amendments. And so I'm taking my orders from the attorney in the corner. So do we have the first amendment to be submitted?
Stephanie's going to put this up on the screen.
Put it up on the screen, and the person who submitted it to come and speak to it.
It might be me or it might be somebody else.
No, it's you.
Okay.
Get ready. Okay, let's see which one it is. And actually, the version I turned in is slightly different than the version that you're showing right now with respect to line 289. And my name is Bill Sasso. I'm a delegate from the Carbondale Unitarian Fellowship in Carbondale, Illinois, and I serve as president of the Mid-America region for 4 more days. Okay, so... Okay, so, let's see.
Yesterday, Tom Bean reminded me that this is like making sausage, because that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Well, first let us get the right words, then we'll make it larger. Okay, so leave or region and take out no more than 20 of the 50 congregations may be from the same district. Yeah. Yeah, word processing is a group exercise, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, and that's slightly changed from an earlier version that some of you may have seen. That particular line, well, let me talk about the general thing first, and then I'll say why I changed that particular line in the submission. In these revisions, in the proposed revisions, where there are a number of congregations that can do something, as the bylaws were written, many of them were written to make sure that congregations were not all congregations from the same district, meaning that there should be a certain breadth of geography that was represented by the congregations putting something on the GA agenda. And given that the regions that have been formed, Mid-America formed out of 3 predecessor districts and the southern region formed out of 4, if that's the case, then if you're thinking about districts, Mid-America is already more than two, it's already essentially 3 districts. The southern region would be 4 districts, but as these revisions were proposed, it would mean that the 380 congregations, 180 from Mid-America, 200 from the South, would not be able to propose something and get it onto the GA agenda, whereas 50 congregations from 3 districts in, say, New England, not that, New England's good, I'm not picking on New England, just using them as an example. 50 districts from New England could do something that 380 from Mid-America and the South could not together do. So here, what I'm proposing to do is to take out these restrictions on, it's not just 50 congregations, it's 50 from a certain number of regions or districts. And in the case of line 289, that's about calling a special general assembly. And to my knowledge, a special general assembly has never been called. It would be an extremely radical thing to do, and I believe that while maybe it's okay for 50 congregations in the same district to do, same region to do it, it probably shouldn't be 50 congregations from a very limited area. So line 289 is made a little bit less perfect in terms of saying congregations are equal whether they're in the same district or not. And so this is intended to increase the respect for congregational polity, and also the fact, also intended to recognize that as our districts form into regions, the areas they represent become larger, and maybe it's okay for 50 congregations that go from Kentucky to North Dakota. That's enough geographical diversity to make something okay, which is what Mid-America does. Sorry that was so long.
Great. Thanks, Bill. We have 6 amendments, so we're going to take roughly 10 minutes on each one. Are there any particular discussion, pros or cons, to make on this particular one? Please come up to the microphone. And again, we'll try to go back and forth between the two, support and not.
My name is Patricia Fletcher. I'm from the Olympic Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Port Angeles, Washington. I understand how this might apply to the others, but I understand also that there's still West region and that the districts within that have opted to keep those districts. So would this not impact them differently?
Someone from the board.
Deanne Peterson, UU Congregation of Atlanta, also formerly known as Mid-South District President from the Southern Region. Some of the changes that were originally presented by the board raised the bar too high for being able to present anything to the General Assembly. And to answer the previous speaker's question there, this really doesn't change anything for any of the districts that are staying with the status quo. What this does is for the Southern Region in particular, which will not have an annual assembly, is that we still have the ability for congregations to bring business before the General Assembly as a cluster or a group of congregations, but with Bill Sasso's amendments, to be able to not have to find four other districts somewhere in the country to be able to bring that business. So some of these changes where it adds or region actually raises the bar way too high for the Southern Region to bring any kind of business. So Bill Sasso's recommendations fix that for us.
Okay, so I see him agreeing with that. Is anyone who would like to speak against what Bill Sasso's amendment? On line 289, you strike or region. Line 437, you strike with no more than 20 of the 50 congregations from the same district or region. Can you read that now? Lines 450, 51, strike in at least five districts or regions. And lines 487 to 488, I'll wait till you can get there. Strike including no fewer than five certified member congregations located in no fewer than the five districts or regions. So trying to deal with those districts that have already combined into regions and give them more flexibility in terms of how they bring things forward. Okay. So are you ready to just do a straw vote on this one? Okay, all of those who would be in favor of an amendment like this, and should we take all four of them together? That's one amendment that's been proposed. Okay, so everyone who would be in favor of this particular amendment, raise your cards. Okay, those of you who would not be in favor. Okay, so pretty strong support in the room for that. Okay, great. Thank you. And thank you, Bill. Okay, the next amendment. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, let's wait for just a minute for the offsite. And while we're waiting, let's have the second person, the Second Amendment, come up and get ready to speak. Oh, it's still Bill, is our understanding. Okay. Still Bill. 2-4, 2 against from the offsite. And thank you, offsite delegates, for your straw vote. Okay, back to Bill Sasso.
Great. Can we please put the Second Amendment or the second proposal that I submitted up. Again, Bill Sasso from Carbondale Unitarian Fellowship in Carbondale, Illinois, and still president of the Mid-America region. and I don't know which one you have.
I don't know either.
Okay.
I got whatever you emailed, so I was working on this
off. Okay. All right.
Is this the one that you're talking about for the second one?
Yes.
Okay.
No, that's actually the third one. Okay, sorry. Let's see. Okay, that's it, right there. Okay.
10 minutes.
What? Yeah, and 306 to 308 is the most complex of the three, so I think it's better to sort of work with this. I suggest that we work with this one next. I'd like to submit it in this order, if it's okay. and this concerns the change. Let's see.
Go.
Okay. Line 641 to 644 in the booklet. And in that case, that line 641 to 644 are part of Rule G13.2.1. And because it's a G rule, it's a rule that can only be changed by the General Assembly. The area that's Section A of that rule is what we're talking about, what I'm proposing be not just remove, the current text be removed, that's the basic proposal, and I'm proposing that where the current text is removed, that it be replaced with the following text. And the intention of this is to clarify where authority to recognize a region or district as a unit of the UUA or to remove that recognition resides. Currently, because it's a G rule, only the General Assembly can change the list of districts. And while it makes a lot of sense, I know as president of Mid-America, I know it makes a lot of sense to not have that rule, something that's published as part of our rules and bylaws, but I also believe that it's good to clarify whether we're changing the locus of authority in removing this list from the G rule, or if we want to maintain that authority as something that's recognized as belonging to the General Assembly. So there's a second line that says the UUA secretary will publish, maintain a list and publish it so that we have a list if we need one. The logic is simply to clarify whether we're changing the locus of authority to recognize regions and districts, and this proposes to maintain the authority as something of within the General Assembly. Thank you.
Bill, 641 through 644 right now is kind of a laundry list of all of the districts?
Yeah.
And so you're proposing to leave that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Delete that, but add this.
Yeah, and it's, okay, so maybe rather than is
substitute, okay.
Substitute is the best way to serve. So substitute for the delete the stuff that they're proposing to delete, that you're proposing to delete, but add this in its place.
Okay. So people understand what the proposal is? Okay, let's go over it again. Take a look in your book, which is on page 110, and look at line 641 to 644, and this is the there shall be districts named, and it names every one of them. And the proposal from the board was to take out the list of everything that was named. And so what Bill is proposing in this amendment is take it out and add that. And so it makes it very clear that the power to name these a district or a region or remove it is with the delegates. So what he's doing is making it very clear who has the decision-making authority to do this. Is that do it? Okay, are you pro or con? And who are you?
I'm Carl Ponen, and I'm a delegate from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Greater Lansing. I'm speaking basically against this proposed amendment. I do think Bill has identified an important problem. I'm not sure that his solution is the correct solution. If we do not pass this, then there is no way of deciding how to admit a region into, or how to divide up a region, or how to, you know, so on. All of these things, that there's now nothing in our bylaws that allows us to take care of that. So that is a real problem that does need to be fixed. However, what Bill is suggesting here gives General Assembly the power essentially to throw out any region for any reason, basically. That they could suddenly say to some part of the country, you're not in the UUA anymore. For any reason, so I don't think that was the intent, but that's what this language does. It is a genuine problem, and I think it needs to be corrected.
I'm not sure that's really right, and the reason is that this is a G rule, as Bill said, and so any change in the G rule can be made only by a vote of General Assembly, and so General Assembly has the power now because it's a G rule. And it could continue to be a G rule.
So you're saying it already has that power.
It has the power by virtue of it being a G rule.
That's a good point.
So
it already has the power. So
I don't think this is really changing anything.
You are correct.
Okay.
So it's not changing anything. It's making it explicit in this particular section of the bylaws. Okay. Did you have a pro?
Question of a question for clarification. I'm Pat Moore Pickett from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California, delegate. And my question is, while it looks like this substitution makes the whole process a little more flexible as regions and districts are named, so it's not just a static group, my question is, then do the delegates then need to name them, or does the current list remain current of the existing districts and regions of the UUA?
Who would like to handle that?
Under the board proposal, the list of districts and regions is deleted, okay? I frankly think anytime you have a list and you have to get a whole vote of General Assembly to change it, it's a little cumbersome. Those of you who've been coming to GA for a few years, you remember we did the Thomas Jefferson District, we changed that name, and shall we say it's easier not to list the names? Because then we have to go change them all the time. So this list goes, the list in A would be deleted, and we wouldn't have a list of named districts or regions, which frankly is easier. We wouldn't have it in the rule. That doesn't mean they wouldn't exist. Okay.
Okay, and we have one more speaker here, and then we'll move on.
This is from Sally Gilbert at Central Unitarian, speaking for the amendment. She says, I believe that we must ensure the GA, and therefore she approves the amendment.
Great, thank you, off-site delegate Sally. Okay, are you ready to do a straw vote? And we'll make sure our off-site delegates are ready as well. So everyone who would like to substitute the paragraph listing all of the districts and regions with this one that reaffirms that it is the General Assembly that makes these decisions, raise your voting card. Okay, and do we have a vote from the offsite? Okay, we'll wait just a minute. Yeah, well, we're waiting for that. We'll go ahead with the no's. And the no votes? Okay, it looks like one. And we'll get the offsite.
Thirteen four, one against.
Kind of reflecting the will of the room. So thank you. That's our second amendment. How about the third amendment, Donna?
Also Bill Sasso.
Also Bill
Sasso. Again, Bill Sasso from the Carbondale Unitarian Fellowship. Let me speak about where this is coming from and then talk about what it is. The board has worked, our UUA board has worked to find a way to treat all regions and districts in an equitable manner. And the approach, as I understand it, that they've come to is to remove certain authorities or capacities from all districts and regions, given that some districts and regions won't have governance structures and things like annual district meetings and things like that. And so if they don't have an annual district meeting, they don't have a vehicle to pass a resolution putting something on the GA agenda. So if some can't do it, then it's not appropriate that some can do it and some cannot do it. And this amendment takes an alternative approach to that problem. And what it does is it says, rather than taking away the capacity that districts currently enjoy to put things on the GA agenda by vote of the delegates at the district or regional assembly, then maintain that and add a relatively simple structure which could be used in a situation where a region, for example, the southern region, which is not going to maintain a governance structure, add a structure by which that could happen in the South or any other district or region which disbands its governance structure. So that's the intention is to provide opportunity to all districts on an equitable basis And instead of taking it away from some that are maintaining governance structures, it's providing a vehicle by which those without governance structures could enjoy those same privileges. There you go. There it is. So rather than deleting a number of sections, this occurs actually in three places. And my amendment that I'm proposing actually addresses two of them. It addresses business resolutions and bylaws amendments. Does not address the statements from the Commission on Social Witness. And I can talk about why that. But first, let's talk about what it's trying to do in the two places where it's trying to do it. So rather than striking districts from the list of bodies that can propose GA business, it's adding regions to the word district. So districts and regions can do it. And then adding a text that says, in a district or region that doesn't have a governance structure, a meeting may be convened by vote of the governing bodies or membership of 15 congregations, probably should say 15 congregations in that region, actually. Sorry, but I'm seeing ways to fix my own amendments. By vote of the governing bodies or membership of at least 15 of their congregations. So 15 congregations vote to convene something. A quorum for that thing needs to have, and these are arbitrary numbers, 15, and one-third of the congregations of the district or region. So it's still a fairly, in mid-America, that would be a quorum of about 60 congregations. So it's not an easy thing to get. But it does provide a vehicle by which a district or region without a governance structure could convene a group that would be empowered to submit things to the GA agenda. And that's the spirit in which this is offered. I also want to mention one more thing. I know I'm taking a lot of time. This may not be the most congruent model with policy governance models. I think we're in a tension between the efficiency of our policy governance model and our affirmation of democracy. I believe that maintaining this enhances our ability to do democratic process within our association, and that's where this is coming from. Thank
you. Okay. So if I understand what you're proposing, this has to do, in this case, with rules and business resolutions and who can propose them. And so what Bill is offering is a manner in which those who don't have formal regions or districts have a way to convene a special meeting to allow them to do that. Is that fair, Bill? Okay. So, cons.
Yes. I'm Carl Ponen, and again, a delegate from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Greater Lansing. I'm concerned because I know there's another amendment that has been submitted that heavily overlaps this one. That is asking for some of the same changes and some of the other ones. One reason why that's a concern, what Bill is basically doing here, is he's essentially, for the regions that don't have formal governance structures, he's effectively creating one. It seems to me that this is a little overcomplicated, having our bylaws give the regions, telling them how to organize themselves and essentially giving themselves governance structures when the regions are empowered to do that for themselves if they want to do so. I think this is a little overcomplicated than the alternate proposal. And I think, you know, for example, if this becomes an unincorporated amendment, then that could lead to all sorts of craziness on the floor of the GA. If that doesn't happen with these, okay.
It's our job to try to figure it out in incorporating and unincorporating so we don't create internal inconsistencies.
Well, I'm not talking about an internal inconsistency. It's just the complication of this being shown to all the delegates at GA who haven't seen it before. You know, it may lead to some, you know, maybe we need, I guess what I'm saying is maybe we need to have a much longer conversation about how this is going to work. I think the simpler alternative amendment just because it's simpler, and maybe there's some more things we need to discuss, and we can, you know, keep going. You know, we can use that as a basis. But giving these regions their governance structures when they said they didn't really want one. And if what can happen if we leave this out, the region can say, hey, you know, we do want to put something on the agenda. Let's create a governance structure just to put things on the agenda.
And the board is the one, as Tom said, that will incorporate these or not. And so that will be dealt with then. So we heard you, but we are going to deal with this one now. Okay.
Right.
In terms of getting the will of the body. But let's get one more comment. Is this Pearl?
What he was saying in the beginning, but he ended up saying exactly what I was going to. Oh, I'm Paul Hillary. I'm a delegate from First Unitarian Universalist Church of San Diego. And if a region chose to give up governance, why should we give them, make it so that we can hold their hands and have them give them governance?
Okay, so we have one more con. Is there a pro, and then we'll be done?
I am a pro.
Okay.
Cindy Landrum, minister of the Universalist Unitarian Church in Clark Lake, Michigan. And I am in favor of this. I kind of asked Bill to do this, actually, because, and for a lot of the reasons people are con about it are my reasons for being for it, that I think that we need a structure in place still for our congregations who come together in districts and regions to use that process to bring things onto the GA agenda. And the fact that some regions and maybe some districts have chosen to give up governance doesn't mean that those of us who have chosen to keep governance shouldn't be able to use that governance. This gives them a structure if they want to use the structure. It doesn't require them to use the structure. And so if they still don't want governance, they still don't have to exercise governance. But for those of us who like governance and who want to bring things forward through that process, it does do what the intention of the whole overall intention of the Board of Trustees was, to neutralize the differences. This continues to neutralize the differences, but in a way that maintains this mid-level governance structure that we here appreciate. Thank you.
Okay, we are down to the end of the time for discussing this particular one. Did you have a thought, Steve, that's not been raised yet?
I have a question, because I got another copy of the third proposed amendment by Bill, and it had several other statements. So I'm not sure if we're going to deal with those separately or if they're on the list of things here, but we haven't talked about them. This part, right. So this part is in the same amendment that Bill proposed, but we haven't talked about it.
In my mind, it's all part of the same amendment.
But
sure
this makes other substantive changes. We haven't talked about it at all.
Thank you. Okay. So we need to look at these other substantive changes.
Point of information.
Point of information.
Point of information. We will be voting on keeping 306 to 308 F, correct?
Correct.
And adding region, and then adding this additional language. That's what the straw vote's going to be on.
That's what the straw vote in this room would be on.
About 611, that's part of his proposal.
So 611, 614, is it exactly the same concept applied to what?
Exactly the same concept applied to another capability that region or districts currently enjoy, which is submission of a proposed bylaws amendment to the UUA bylaws.
Okay, so it is, if you don't have a formal structure, the idea is you could still do that by having a special meeting that would give you that structure. Okay, so it's exactly the same, it just applies to bylaws amendments. Okay, so let's do a straw vote. There's more. And what's 610 and 611? There's another one? Okay.
The proposed amendment in line 610 is the deletion of the word or, because then it would, you know, so 606 and 610 are really just kind of grammatical adaptations around removing a paragraph. That's not very exciting. 633 to 637.
That's the notice to member congregations.
Yeah, and their notices to member congregations and districts would go to member congregations and districts and regions.
Okay.
So these are sort of, you know, the details of making a change. Okay. They're not the exciting part.
Okay. So this, because what happened here is end districts was removed. And so what Bill is doing is leaving in districts and suggesting we also add in regions, as opposed to having it just go to the congregations. Okay, so we've got three pieces in here. And you have?
Point of information.
And your name, please?
Jesse Ford, delegate for CLF. There was mention of an alternate overlapping amendment. Has that been considered yet?
Not yet. We want to finish up this one, and then we'll go to the other one.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's do a straw vote on this. So all of those in favor of ensuring that those without formal district or regional structure can add them to do all the things that Bill was describing, vote with your cards. And offsite delegates, you are voting as well. We may want to count this one. See how close it actually is. And again, these are suggestions to the board, recommendations. While our offsite delegates are voting as well. Okay, you ready? So cards down, all of those opposed to this. Okay, it clearly carries. And let's see what our offsite delegates do.
Six, four, none against.
Okay, so again, reflects the will of the offsite delegates, very similar. Okay, thank you, and Bill is done. So our next one is a little bit complicated to put up on the screen, so while we were putting it up on the screen, I'd like to call that person up to describe it and talk a little bit about it, and that is Kurt Deweese.
Thank you. I am Kurt Deweese. I'm from Springfield, Illinois. I am here on behalf of the board of directors of our congregation, the Abraham Lincoln Unitarian Universalist Congregation, which unanimously opposed the original proposed bylaws relating to this subject. But I also attended the meeting of the Mid-America region where this was discussed, and then subsequently learned that the Mid-America region also opposed that, but at the same time had proposed to the board a process for recognizing in a technical way various places throughout the bylaws where regions weren't referenced but districts are. So it was the Mid-America originally had proposed that there be insertions to the word regions where there were just districts. So it was really a technical recommendation, but then the response by the board was to come up with this concept of neutrality and deleting references to districts and not really referencing the regional structure as well in the procedural thing. Now I've... Okay. So in the process of responding of implementing the recommendation of the board of my church, as well as responding to the Mid-America position, I developed an amendment, a page and line reference, which is fairly complicated because the bylaws themselves are extensive and the page and line references throughout that are fairly extensive. So it appears to be a complicated amendment, but it's only because it requires many page and line references to accomplish what the purpose is, and that is to essentially delete or to take out the brackets that delete references to districts and regions, or to otherwise recognize the insertions where the regions and districts continued to be represented as they are now represented in the existing bylaws. So I want to preserve the existing bylaws with regard to districts, add references to regions, and really to accomplish what we think we were trying to do when the Mid-America region was established, and that was to reinforce, to provide more substantive and support for our relationship to UUism. And we were not in any way expecting that the board would then come back and change that relationship. We think that this is kind of changes the dynamic of why we became a region in the first place, and that was to give us a more effective way of organizing and supporting the congregations in our area in relationship to the UUA board. So I think that the intent is to go back to where we were, where we have more opportunities for local participation in the work of the UUA and maintaining the relationship that we believe should be preserved between the sort of local congregations, the regions, and the UUA, rather than assuming that there's going to be, some other way that that was attempted in these bylaws.
Let me see if I can paraphrase what you said, because as I mentioned at the beginning, the board has done two different kinds of things to try to give an equal playing field. One is to add and or regions to districts. The other was to eliminate districts entirely and go directly to congregations. What I'm hearing you say is do the first, but don't do the second.
Right.
Okay.
And I think the other thing is that we weren't aware as we formed our region, and I have to say that was a combination of three very vital districts, and we agreed to the restructuring of our region. We weren't aware that there were any concerns about neutrality as the board has proposed it. That we weren't aware, and we still aren't aware that anybody outside of the board was really recommending this kind of change or was complaining about their lack of access.
Yeah, I think we have it. Thank you very much. So, in particular, where it came from. So everyone understands what he's suggesting. It's not to eliminate the districts, but put in districts or regions all the way through this. Is there anything that's different than that in the proposal?
I do want to add, though, that the board, in consideration of this, will probably have a technical matter of what someone was suggesting would be overlap of the prior amendments.
And the board can deal with that.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So the one part of your many changes that you had was dealt with the question around the timing that Ginny raised earlier. And we're going to exclude that from this piece because there's a separate bylaws amendment proposal coming on that. So that's not going to be in what you're talking about here.
Okay. Does someone have a pro on this? Excuse me, a con.
Jasmine Walston, First Unitarian Church, Louisville, Kentucky. If I'm understanding it correctly, this doesn't address the issue that the previous amendment addressed, which was the South region is not going to have a governance structure, so they won't be able to participate, whereas we're giving any remaining districts and all of the regions that have a governance structure, so they get to do stuff, but the South has no way to participate. And the previous amendment that we took a straw vote and passed would do this same thing. It added regions back in, but it also made a way for
and
the
more.
South. And so for that reason, I pose this one, because it doesn't fix the real problem, was that we're leaving out a region. And that was the one reason I thought, well, I guess I'll support it. I don't like it, but I guess I'll support it. And I thought this other one was really eloquent, and I was really happy with it and really happy that we passed it. So I'm opposed to this one because it doesn't address the real problem.
Okay. Do we have a pro?
This is their choice.
Right. Yes, Carl Ponenen from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Greater Lansing, the delegate from. I came to this meeting today to propose identically the same amendment. I was pretty sure that somebody else was going to propose this, actually. So This is essentially what Teresa was talking. This amendment is essentially what Teresa was talking about earlier. This is what we in the Mid-America region requested, and I hope that the board and everyone else in a leadership position that's present here is noticing how many of us from the Mid-America region have come to the microphone today to talk about our concerns about this. We are at the moment your only region. We are the region. The only one that exists. We hope that there's going to be more in the future, but at the moment, we're the only one that exists. So I hope that you take our concerns as typical of concerns the region might have. This is what the Mid-America region requested, that as the Mid-America region, we have the same rights at General Assembly that each of our three districts had before we became a region. Okay, each of these three districts that merged to make the Mid-America region had all these rights, and we were hoping to retain those as the Mid-America region. And that's what this amendment does. It keeps all of those rights instead of taking the rights away, which is what the board's proposal is doing. So that's why I'm in favor of this. It ends up being very fiddly. It's like add or region here, add or region. It has to be very fiddly like that because you've sort of taken away the rights one at a time, and this is just this is basically saying, keep a lot of the language that's already in the bylaws. This is the don't take it out, leave it in amendment.
Thank you. And so I'm going to take, we have just about a minute left on this particular one because we have two more amendments still to go through. And so we're just going to do one more con.
I have a point of information, one question after that.
Oh, there's just one? Okay. Okay, great. So we can take a little bit more time then. Maybe do 3 more minutes. Okay, yeah. And point of information? Okay. We've got time.
You don't get to jump? Deanne Peterson, UU Congregation of Atlanta, also representing the Mid-South District and the Southern Region. I'm con on this change. I do hear that Mid-America wants to be represented as a region, and I invite the board to figure out and/or language potentially for this section so that we do not preclude the Mid-America region, but we also include the uniqueness of the Southern region. I do want to point to the delegates here that the Southern region gave up governance of its districts. It did not give up being able to bring things to the General Assembly. We are happy to not necessarily bring something as a region because we do not have an elected body to do so, but we will willingly, very willingly, gather congregations and clusters together to do so. But we do not want to be precluded from an avenue that only says it can only be bought by a district.
Good. Thank you. And point of information?
I'm not sure if it's clarification or information, but Cindy Landrum, Clark Lake, Michigan. And we have two competing amendments here that are overlapping amendments. I'm concerned that we have less than unanimous votes on what might be a more unanimous concept, and which is that we want regions included and not to be stripped of a certain level of governance. And so I'm wondering if after the vote on this amendment, if we could also have an informational vote on how many people present would support one of the two or either of the two, and how many people would oppose both of the two. Just for the Board of Trustees to know, yes, I think there is more agreement in the room that we would like to see one of these.
Yeah, well, I think the last one was almost unanimous. Okay, so, I mean, there clearly was almost unanimous on the last one. So that was a pretty clear signal. Okay so our last speaker here.
Peter Candace, UU Congregation of the Low Country. I'm a delegate. And we have congregational polity. Districts and regions are artificial structures that we've created to help out with the governance, but we have congregational polity. And so I think that I really appreciate the board trying to help level the playing field. I think they've done a marvelous job. I really support that. And I hope that we would continue to keep that in mind, that we have congregational polity. And like Deanna said, we're perfectly willing to bring groups of congregations together to make those kinds of motions or amendments, what have you, that we would like to do. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And we have an off-site delegate comment.
From David Jacobi from the UU Church of Indianapolis. He supports extending to the region the capabilities afforded to districts rather than removing the capabilities from districts.
So again, continued support from our offsite delegate here. Okay, we'll do two more and then we'll move on.
Can I just clarify? It's Kurt DeWeese, the proposer of the amendment. I supported Bill's amendment with regard to the options for other districts. And so where there is some conflicting page and line references, I certainly defer to the prior amendment, which I did support.
And I think the board is hearing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our last speaker on this one.
A little tall here. Charlie Neese, First Unitarian Society of Plainfield, New Jersey. With all due respect, we may have congregational polity, but that ignores the youth communities that span multiple congregations. They have identities within the districts, growing identities within the regions. To abandon them by removing those structures without a clear plan to retain those communities is doing a disservice to the existing communities and dooming our future.
There. Thank you for calling us to a very important constituency. Okay, so straw vote. Again, the whole thing is essentially replacing just the district language. Instead of removing it, it's to replace it with districts and regions. Okay, all in favor, raise your hand, your cards. Okay, all opposed, cards down, all opposed. Okay, not quite unanimous, but still strong support. Let's see what our offsite delegates say.
6-4
and 3 against. So again, pretty close to reflecting the room for a small sample. Okay, and who's our last one?
Ginny Von Corder.
Ginny Von Corder. Have we ever heard of this person?
No, it's a new name.
A new name. Welcome new back name. To the mic, Ginny.
Hello. Happy Supreme Court holiday. I'm Ginny Corder. I'm here as a delegate from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Grand Traverse in Traverse City, Michigan.
Ginny.
Oh, we can't hear me. I'm sorry. Ginny Von Corder, thank you. Wow. Ginny Von Corder, representing the delegate from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Grand Traverse in Traverse City, Michigan. And my recommendation is to strike the proposed change on lines 311 and 312, which is changing the deadline for when resolutions must be received by the Board of Trustees. There are a couple of reasons I think this is important. First, it strikes me that this was an attempt to fix an issue around the congregational poll, which would allow congregations to be able to vote on the items that they put on the agenda. But in fact, this same article allows the board to place items on the agenda which would bypass that congregational poll. There's a difference between the deadline for the tentative agenda and the deadline for the final agenda, and there's a difference in treatment between the items that would be placed by congregations or districts and items that are placed by actions of a prior General Assembly and items that are placed by the board. As a very practical matter, our processes, other than districts and perhaps regions putting something on the agenda for congregational involvement in the General Assembly agenda, other than the social witness problem, the social witness process, are underused and are kludgy. They start with go to the UUA website, download this piece of paper, make copies of it, send it to other congregations, have them fill out that piece of paper, have their minister or president swear that these people are members, send it back to you because the whole thing has to go in as a packet. And by the way, make sure that some of those folks are a long way away from you. Let's now do all of that with four fewer months to do it in. So it feels to me that there might be a real problem. The problem might be the congregational poll. But trying to fix this housekeeping matter disadvantages congregations. And if the board's choice was to try to have more congregational involvement rather than, for example, district or regional involvement, if that's the playing field we're trying to level, I'd suggest we start with the technology of how congregations could put things on the agenda to begin with, something like change.org petitions or some other way, and not also shorten up the timeline, which makes it almost impossible for our smaller congregations and mid-sized congregations to participate in putting something on the agenda. It just makes it really difficult to have it in by November 1st.
Great. Thank you, Jenny. So if I understand it correctly, it's proposing that this part of the amendment be not changed. And so the dates stay the same, and there's two primary reasons for it. One is that it's something that applies to congregations that gives them much less time to go through the process. And I also heard you say it's then different than what the board is able to do.
Correct.
Okay. Questions on that one? Pros or cons on this one? Do we want to go directly to a straw vote? Is there anything the board wants to address? Yeah, it should be 312. Yeah, 312. So that would stay as it is the recommendation. Okay, you ready to vote? This is our last one. Okay, all in favor of that amendment, raise your cards. Okay, cards down while our offsite delegates are voting. All of opposed to taking this out and wanting to leave the advanced schedule in. Okay, we have one. Let's see what our offsite delegates do. Okay, 940 again. Again, reflects the body here. So we were able to continue all of the amendments. Let me turn this over to Donna.
Well, so there is one more because I expect Jasmine Walston is wondering what happened to her amendment, and we agreed that's a typo and we're just going to fix it. Right. So, but if it remains in, we saw that it's a typo and we will fix that. Thank you for that.
So as you know, this all goes to the board. The board will incorporate some of what was proposed. They have the will of the group in here. And those things that were not incorporated in there, those people have the opportunity of proposing them to the floor. And we have one last comment here.
This is a point of information. I'm Margie Manning from Unitarian Universalists of Clearwater in Florida, the final president of the Florida District. I would like those assembled here and the delegates to know that the Southern Region congregations voted virtually unanimously to do away with governance in favor of a system of stronger relationships between congregations. I personally support the changes that the board proposed in terms of the language in districts and regions because it does favor that relationships between congregations. And I just wanted you all to know that.
Great. Well, you will have the opportunity perhaps on Sunday to make that point. So big thanks to all of you for being here and also to our offsite delegates. Thank you very much. Okay. Onward. That's for staff. That's for staff.
So well, she's mistaken.
No, she was talking about Lincoln, which is
right. Different. Yeah, so that feedback mechanism from the Regional Advisory Council is not the same thing as what this is.
I got that.
Okay.
Yeah, since so I'm not on the board, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a really good point, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Confirmed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Referring to of the April. Yeah, there's two from each of the former district boards that were elected to.
So they formed two.
Yes. Yeah.
I do. Where are you?
When would you like to meet? You get sort of three options for meeting to discuss. Donna, you get three options for discussing when to discuss incorporation. One is right now, which Jim and I would prefer not. The other is at, say, 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. And the other is really early tomorrow morning.
It's 4 o'clock on Saturday.
What was 4 o'clock on Saturday? Oh, I know, but that's too late. Because we need 20, this thing's getting voted on, I think, Sunday morning. And we found out we need 24 hours to print up, you know how we got the versions this morning of the social witness? That was really helpful to people to have it printed up like that. We learned it. Yeah, exactly. So we really need to get it into print and incorporate some tomorrow morning. So yes, we have decided 4 o'clock. I think that just doesn't work. As a practical matter, it doesn't work. So we can either do it. We can either do it late tonight, or we can do it early tomorrow morning.
Well, I don't mind doing it towards the end of the session. If you want to do it all, sure.
Yeah.
We should. How about 7 o'clock tomorrow morning?
7 is fine.
We can do that. We can do it in the suite. We'll just have some brought into the suite.
Oh, good idea. To your suite.
Yeah. Okay. Because we'll all.
I'm at the double tree.
You're at the double tree.
I am. And I don't have to do the general sessions for the scholarship until 10.
But he's got it.
But I've got it. I can't be late for that.
You can't be late.
But I can get us started. You can. Right. If there's any.
What suite are you doing?
Okay. I think
it would be good if you could. I think it would be great. Well, it's up to you.
I can, but...
14:55, you get breakfast.
14:55, okay.
Where's your hotel?
You know, for breakfast?
Well, I'm eating veggie for breakfast, so I'll have breakfast after.
Okay.
Okay.
So 7 a.m.
14:55, double treat.
Right.
Seven.
Masterful job. Expect a return. You want to go to Columbus?
It wasn't.
Well, it was so complex, but I thought the speakers, most of them, particularly Bill,
that's what we're tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
Right. It did.
Jim Sweet, he'll have breakfast.
Okay. Does that work for Donna?
Donna says good.
Okay.
I'll see you guys.
See ya.
Tomorrow morning.
Yes, you will.
Sounds good to me.
Good. I got a good address.
Okay, bye. Sweet.
Nice to meet you, Chris.
It was wonderful meeting you, and thank you for taking us through that so gracefully.
That was graceful.
I learned a lot.
14:55. So they're going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. Oh, that will get there.
Perfect.
Excellent. if I just need to remember to do it.
Things they brought us were pretty helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the contentious or weird stuff. A little emotion there at the beginning.
And, you know, and here's her, as you think about this tonight.
Right, 7 a.m. and, you know, yeah, same thing.
That take us away from what we said we were trying to do, which is neutrality. And that last batch fails. That batch fails, and which I've told them 500 times. And it's interesting. They have this sense that the southern region, you know, came up
That was
pretty wildly.
It's like in favor of what was being done.
Absolutely. And I think they can live with putting that structure in place. There's like, well, we don't need it, but, you know, it doesn't hurt anything for it to be there. It takes a lot of the steam out of this. It takes a lot of the steam out of this. So that's where my head is at. But I'm glad we're doing it in the morning and we can sleep on it.
I think it's a very good idea. And you tried to do it after Synergy tonight.
Oh, there's just no. But I can tell when I get tired. I have the worst potty mouth when I am tired. So bad. It's like, where did my children learn to swear? Oh, I can tell you where they learned to swear.
Nice working with you too, Stephanie. We worked together before on something when I was on the board. I don't know what it was.
Well, I've been working with them for a while.
Okay.
And so I think that's
I think that was it.